praise God. This kept coming up in me, so Varacho Sukolamba Ikasikilanko. Moyala Kashla Kunsti Badlambrio Minkanero Varasha Kadirio.
Yes, I am the one who does great miracles. You have said words and saying words that said, I do miracles, and didn't say I did them. I'm speaking to you in this day and now. I am the God who does them.
Yes.
The church has left the expectation, has looked to the past. And I say to you today, rise up and look to the future.
Amen.
For the future at hand is glorious. For the future at hand is more glorious than any of the past. So look ahead. Rise up. Be bold and courageous. Hallelujah. And I will show myself in wonderful ways.
Amen.
Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated.
Praise God. We're just going to talk this morning, and I said we're going to do the air as a confession of what we say. God's been dealing with me in these areas here for quite some time. And we want to go over and look at this area. One of the things, and I think Mike would agree with me, that was one of the big things when I came into the kingdom, the emphasis on confession, and we have left a lot of this. And one of the things that we've lost the absolute importance of it. People generally know, there's a lot of people within the kingdom, in the spirit-filled kingdom, they know about it. But it's not taken seriously, and it's what limits the move of God. You know, there's one thing about it is this. If you're in it, like we're in a time now, people say they want a move of God. But I don't see the church moving in the direction for a move of God. They're not moving in the place. It's not in everybody. There's ones that are moving in. But the majority who say they want it, they aren't doing what needs to be done to bring it. There's things that's changing. And it's just like with ourselves. You know, I find out there's things, you know, in the past that I walked in and I found out, you know, I wasn't doing certain things. So therefore, I wasn't lining up with the Word. I wasn't walking in that. So I wasn't having what I had before. You know, I don't care. You know, we do this today. The world has filled us with the idea of knowledge. And this we're in our subject here dealing with knowledge that overcomes. There's knowledge that overcomes, but that knowledge has to be practiced. Today, people are just satisfied with knowing stuff. They just know things. I know this and I know. I've had Christians tell me they're doing the wrong thing. And you mention to them about the Scripture and they'll tell you what the Scripture says. And they think that somehow now they're a good Christian. They know what the Scripture says. You're worse off than an infidel if you know what it says and you ain't doing it.
Preach. Amen.
And we want to look at this today because this is so important for our personal lives. There's things, you know, God wants you to attain to good things. He wants you to hook up into things. He didn't put all these blessings out here and make them hard to reach. There's a system that works in everything. We live in a world, there's systems to do things. Do you ever notice that? You know, I remember years ago when they do this. Educators do this every once in a while. They call them educators. I don't know what they are. But they always just, they try to change math. Now, they do that every so many years. We always get some new people with a new idea, and they're just as dumb as a stick. They went to college long enough to be an idiot. And they don't know nothing. And I saw that come around. I remember, you know, right after our kids, you know, got through, you know, fortunately had went through elementary school and as I've got over to high school, but they started this dumb stuff. There came along this new math. And I'm going to tell you what, for a good 8-10 years, kids were messed up. They were dumb as a stick because some dumb people came along. You know, the laws of math don't change.
Amen.
They never change.
That's right.
I'm just going to tell you this. The laws of the Spirit never change. I don't care who preaches what and tells you what.
Amen.
The law never changes. So you know what? It's going to require something to you to attain spirituality. Well, this is one of the great fallacies that was back in the 1980s. I remember when I came into the kingdom and before I went to Bible school, all these people were going, well, you know, in the last days, you know, there's going to be this big move of God and everybody's going to grow up real quick. I'm sorry, that ain't happening. Why? Because it don't change. The scriptures don't change. You're going to have to do the same thing that everybody else did to grow up.
Amen.
You ain't going to grow up quick. Now, there's things you can do to grow up faster. You can do certain things. You know, it's just like somebody wants to learn a subject to do something. Going to school might help you to learn that a little bit faster than just trying to figure it out yourself. And so I've learned this. People come along and say that. And I said, no, you know, spiritual law don't change. You know, the guy who turned around and worked to arrive at a place, is God going to bless the guy that didn't? Give him the same? Well, if he is, him and I are going to have a problem. And see, we need to understand these things. What is required of things to do? They're spiritual laws. They never, never change. And get this in yourself. Having knowledge is wonderful, but it's of no value unless applied. I don't care what you know, and you got to understand about what we're going to do. And this is one of the things that the Lord talked to me about. In Proverbs, we'll look at a verse here, Proverbs 15 and verse 4. And we've been talking about that last week about what Jesus, in his parable of the sower, we're sowing. And it's sowing of words. And we're going to talk about this. This is a hugely important thing about words. In Proverbs, the 15th chapter and verse 4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but the perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So a wholesome tongue is what? A tree of life. But he said, perverseness in it, what does it do? It says, perverseness, it breaks the spirit. Now let's talk about this, the word perverseness. Perverse means to turn away from what is right or good. It can be corrupt, improper, incorrect. It's obstinate in opposing what is right, reasonable, or accepted. A synonym for it is wrongheaded. Arising from an indicative or stubbornness or obstinance. So when we're talking about this, use here, this perverseness, that's what perverse is. Now, it said it breaks the spirit. They use the word break here, but that word actually means to ruin. It means to afflict, to break. It means to bruise, crush, destruction, hurt, vexation. Many people, many Christians, I want you to understand this. We're going to look at, we're dealing with Christians. I'm not dealing with the world. This isn't, and understand, this isn't for somebody else today. This is for y'all. It's for us.
Amen.
Because we need to understand this. Not lining your tongue up with what you know in the Word is operating against what's good and right.
Amen.
Do you understand that? You see, we look at somebody, well, this guy over here, he cusses. In God's eyes, you might be. You're a person who's perverse because you know what you should be saying, but you're saying something else. You know what the Bible said on the subject, but you're saying something else. And like dealing with the thing, you know, I dealt with people like over the year, they're dealing with something. Like dealing with Christian, I'm talking about Christian, I'm not talking about the world. Somebody comes, every time, you know, they sit under teaching and they know the Bible. Over the years, I've found people do this. They sit under teaching. If you ask them to quote the word, a scripture, they could quote. They'd quote it to you. But it's not what they're doing. And you know, dealing with a person, and well, every time you know they do this certain medical thing, and say, I just get so weak. And I think to them, that person had sat under such good teaching. The Bible says, "Let the weak say I'm strong." Mm-hmm. Now I guarantee you, that individual, if I'd have said to him, the Bible says, if you're, you know, when you're weak, you're supposed to say you're strong. They said, "Well, I know that. I know that. I never heard the person ever do it one time." See, I don't care what you know.
Amen.
It's about you're going. You need to get your tongue in line with what the Word says.
Amen.
Now that person and other people, their tongue is in line with their mind and their thinking and their feelings, and they're in opposition against the Word of God. And they are doing, they are hurting their own spirit, and you know, they blame everything else. Something else is wrong. No, they are crushing their own spirit. They are hurting their own spirit by knowing in their heart what they should be doing and opposing it. See, we need to understand. We take it out. We look at the guy. He's out there cussing, swearing. He does this and that. I've seen so many Christians. I'd rather be around a guy who cusses. At least he knows what he's doing. But some Christian, I got to be around listening to their nonsense. And then act like it's religious or it's spiritual. You know, I can understand there's Christians out here who don't know a thing about the confession thing. You know what? I don't expect a lot of them. They don't know a thing about it. But when people sit under the teaching of it, and they don't do it at all. They're always tied to what's around them. It's like one of the things that the Lord had shown me back is with the, when the past election and stuff coming up and people concerning praying with the nation and stuff. And the Lord said, yeah, the people pray, but then they run around and blaming everything else and saying everything else. They said, well, we prayed this thing in. No, we didn't. God was merciful. Because I'm going to tell you, people wanted to pray it in, had to struggle. Because of all the people out here, the whole time, running their mouth. Saying things that they should never be saying. You know, we need to know. Like, we say, well, you know, this conservatives, they're saying this and the liberals are saying that. Both sides, most of the time, are wrong in what they're doing because they're throwing wood on the fire. They're not solving problems. They're keeping the fire burning. And you know what? Christians love it. You know? You know what? I don't have to prove to anybody I'm right.
Amen.
That's God. He has to do it. If He can't do it, don't ask Ed. I ain't God.
Amen.
My job is walking the light of that God.
Amen.
And my job is this, is to preach what the truth says. That's Amen. What it is. That's my job.
That's right.
My job ain't to convince you of a thing.
Amen.
You hear the truth, you can't convince yourself of the truth, you got a problem. It ain't my problem. It ain't somebody else's. You know, I get to decide that. I decide what I believe. Nobody decides what you believe. You do. And so you need to come down to that fact. This is what I believe. Now, if what I believe, and I believe it's truth, then I'm going to have to do something about that. I'm going to have to do something about it. If a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, you need to learn to start speaking things of life. Why? It is affecting you. It is specifically affecting you. You need to get a hold of that. This is where the devil really gets people. You know, people turn around and you know, criticize somebody or something, and they run down. People, well, you know, that this person else says this, and they get all bummed out and this and that. Why do you join their club? You're as much a trouble as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say I'm no good. Well, they can say whatever else they want.
Amen.
God said I'm good. You know, and see, everybody, let's blame everybody else because I'm an idiot. You ever been there?
Amen.
No matter what they said, speak life to you.
Amen.
See, this is what we have today. It's one of the problems of the church world today. Most people don't need to get to church to further themselves. They're just trying to stay up above water to somebody and come to church and somebody tell them something. They try, okay, I feel a little better now. I can go home and by next week I'm feeling worse again. I want to know where I'm supposed to go. See, I gotta cheer me all week.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's right.
That's right. This is what church is about. Church, we go to a place because we're just having a hard time making it during the week. I know what church is about.
Amen.
Well, see, that's wrong thinking. That's wrong headed. You know, Paul told the church at Corinth what they were. He told them they're carnal, but he said, when they come to church, have something.
Yes.
All anybody else the people know today is come to church and get something. Well, we might get something, but it'd be good to have something. In other words, you're supposed to run into God during the week sometime.
Amen.
You know, I woke up this morning a little before 4 o'clock, you know, and it was one of those, I just woke up just wide awake. And the Lord wanted to talk about what I was supposed to minister today. That's what He wanted to do. He wanted to discuss that about those things. You know, what it's those things. Well, it's important. It's on His mind. You know, I don't believe that's for preachers.
That's right.
Before I ever became a preacher, God would talk to me and He would tell me about things. I don't know that God don't talk to people. I just don't. I have no. From the time I got born again, I've had more encounters with God. And it's, oh, Ed was special. Yeah, I was special Ed. That's about how good I was too. But you know what? I didn't follow the crowd in teaching. I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach. I thought, well, God talked to him. He'll talk to Ed too. I just thought he would. I thought God would reveal himself to me. So I talked like he did.
Amen.
I never waited to find somebody else how they said the new year was going to turn out. Say, what's the matter? Your God's deaf and dumb till New Year's and can't talk to you. He has to find somebody else who can say something because you're such an idiot. See, you got to change the way we think about stuff. We got to get ourselves over. We have to have an expectation of something more. We got to get out of ourselves because, number one, if your spirit, Jesus said this. Jesus, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. If you're breaking your own spirit, what's going to be coming out of your mouth? See, and this is what people need to do. You keep saying, if you keep saying the wrong things, if we do that, it's going to cost us. Eventually, those things get in your spirit. And so, anything we don't want that to happen. Now, James, so we're going to go over to James this morning. We're going to look at here in this direction. You know, James is always a fun guy to look at. He's the fun boy. He always got something. No, I like James because he just says it. He don't mix words. You know, James don't beat around the bush, just try to figure out. You know, James is different than Paul. Paul said, you know, I hope I don't have to come to you and be strong, you know, and say something. James said, I'm gonna be down there, I'm about talking to you boys. I said, James, see, James talks to me. James said, okay, Ed, strap up. Okay, I got it. You know, you don't have to say a bunch of things to me. No. And James was the head of the church in Jerusalem. Oh, man, people won't want to be the head of the church. You know, he oversaw the church. I mean, Paul was in submission to him concerning ministry. But you know, he was definitely a straight shooter, and I liked him. Now we're going to look at the third chapter, and we want to look at this as starting. And this is why we're going to look at the context of things that are said here and starting off. We're going to talk about the tongue because God wants you to move further. Why? He can bless you more. This is what He wants you to do. He wants to bless you more, and especially in the area we're going to deal. One of the things is focusing in here in a lot of ways, but we're going to look as part of is in the areas of healing. As we deal with this. But in verse 1 of the third chapter, James says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Now, isn't this interesting? Don't many of you become teachers? Yeah, but somebody might say, I'm called. Well, after you read this, if you ain't talking right and doing stuff, you need to stay out. I don't care if you say you have a call. I'm going to tell you one thing today. We have too many teachers that shouldn't be teaching. Too much is being said that's not too good. We have a lot of these things on today. Now we want to, because look at what he says. It's not a change of subject. He said, for we all stumble in many things. Now, he's going to pick one of the things we can stumble in. We could stumble in many things. There's many things that we could pick out that people could stumble. But he said, if anyone does not stumble in word. Now, look, you could stumble in many things, but look at the classification. He is a perfect man. A person who doesn't stumble in these words is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. In other words, the most important out of all things to not stumble in is what you say. That's the most important thing about your Christian walk. It's number one. This is the primary thing we talked about last week. When Jesus said, if you don't understand the parable of the sower, this is what James is talking about. It's his power. If you can't control your tongue, it don't matter about all the other stumbling. This is the worst of the worst. Because why? This is the foundation of how the kingdom works. The Word of God works in this earth is a spirit being speaking the words in their spirit out of their mouth. That's what comes to pass. You need to understand, this is how everything works. Your spirit, what did Jesus say? You say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. Don't doubt in your heart. But believe those things you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. That's the foundation of the kingdom. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. Well, when you're praying, you're saying. Amen. What are you saying in your prayer besides a complaint about the problem you got? And you're having more problem because that's what you're talking about. You didn't believe you received help. Oh, God, help me. Look what I'm going through. And he's up there, well, why don't you call something else besides your problem? Why don't you say something else? Why don't you say, my God, you're going to deliver me. I'm just so thankful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe I'm getting help. I need help. I got trouble. Sure you need help. You have trouble. That's why you're asking. But you're supposed to be declaring Amen. What you believe you receive, not what you have.
Amen.
God gave you and me the opportunity to have what we say, and we keep saying what we have. We just keep saying what we got. And see, we need to understand, it affects in every area of our life, you know. We want to change. Your praying doesn't do any good when your saying is going in another direction. See, I see so much today is one thing the Lord showed me. There's so many of the ministers saying, oh man, you just need to pray. You just need to pray. Oh yeah, you just got a problem. Boy, you just pray. God answers prayer. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. What are you saying in your prayer? It don't matter. Praying in itself don't work. If it did, every religion in the world would all get success. Everybody would be doing great. No, you got to have to understand how the kingdom of God works. There's a spiritual kingdom that dominates and rules. And if we don't understand this principle, this was taught and taught. When I came into the kingdom, it's like I always say, they used to have, you know, the confession police. We need them back today. I think I'm going to start up a thing and we'll deputize people.
Amen.
Well, to deputize them and want to put them out here, you know, and give them some kind of thing to zap people when they get out, you know, do something when they get out. Because why? You know, people need to be afraid of saying some of the things they say.
Mm-hmm.
It's killing them.
Amen.
Asking for prayer and doing what they do to kill themselves, talking and saying stuff.
Amen.
Saying things all the time. Always on there. You know, I always thought, you know, because he used to say this, well, you know, person's sick and they're, you know, they need healing. And well, maybe you ought to go to the doctor to find out what you have and so you can better, you know, believe in what the direction you're believing. Personally, I don't know if that works or not. I don't know. It just cause, you know, God can't heal you if you don't know the exact, you know, my legs bother me. Well, I have to figure out whether it's lumbago or it's whatever else it is, or I have a pinched nerve or I got, if I can't get healed till that happens. Because I found this out, that most people, once they find out what they have, they get further away from faith.
Yep.
They get talking that. Well, I have this. I'm sorry, I don't have it.
Amen.
I gave that up for Lent.
Amen.
You know, I'm believing God for healing because I have this. Well, if you have that, how can you believe in what you have? If you believe you have it, God ain't going to steal it from you. You know, God, take this away from me. Well, He can't till you shut your blab mouth. Good. Hey, we need to understand the dangers of what is going on.
Amen.
People are hurting themselves and hurting themselves and hurting themselves. And everybody, we got this mushy Christianity, afraid to say anything.
Amen.
Because, well, it'll offend people. They might leave the church. Let's make bigger doors for them to get out.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Because you'll need big doors to get them back in when their life falls apart for good out there.
Amen.
We're trying to keep everybody happy, but it don't work. You know, I feel, you know, I go back in, you know, from a thing and my heart and stuff checked, and the doctor, you know, he said, you know, my heart was really good and that stuff. But he talked about the fact not being able to talk to people to tell them. We're in a society that's a mess. You can't talk to people about their problems. Doctors, you know, this guy really, he's a real expert. He's one of the top guys in his field. And he can't tell people to do because they don't want to hear what's wrong. They don't want to hear what it requires to do for them. What he's going to have to tell them, what, you know, don't go to the doctor, and, you know, if you don't want to do what he does. But these people, they go, they ain't got a nick of faith or anything. They better be listening to what he says. And you know what? They go on and they say to him, paying all this money, we're paying all this insurance money out for these people to go, and they don't get any better. And they're saying, well, you know, like medical science ought to take care of me. I'm allowed to be a moron and an idiot, and they need to take care of me. This is what we got today. This is America. This is generally America. This is what it is, whether we like it or not. I ain't going to be generally America.
Amen. Preach.
I'm going to use my mouth to change some things.
Amen.
I'm going to set some things in direction. Amen. I'm not joining the club. I want people to know right now, I'm different.
Amen.
I ain't your general religious guy.
Hallelujah.
I believe that this thing of confession and things work. I have seen it in my life. Like Mike talking about the things, the success they had. What? They're saying the right stuff.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, they didn't get saying the right stuff. They worked at putting stuff in their heart saying right stuff. It don't just happen because you know a scripture. Now, I know all the years that I've known Mike, you know, he ain't been putting something else in him.
Amen.
And so, the fact that they would turn around and it wouldn't rain on their place. It rained other places. But it didn't rain where they were at. Why? Because they wanted something.
Amen.
They had opposition. I'm sure there's people wanted the rain and there's people that, you know, they wanted that place to be cheaper. But they, I'm sorry. Mike set the price. They set the price on the thing.
Amen. That's right.
The people didn't set. You know what? The whole thing with this, they set the price, and God bought a buyer that would buy it at the price.
Amen.
Praise a fixed system. Mm-hmm. Who fixed it? God didn't. Mike did.
Amen. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mike and Darlene fixed the system. They set it in motion. If they hadn't, God couldn't have done it. They did it. God's, I hate to say this, God's not in control. Somebody will wake up. They're getting good sleep out of here. No. God put Mike and Darlene in control of things that were theirs. And they took control of what they were doing. You know, they sought God about, you know, selling and doing stuff they did. They didn't have God outside the loop. But when it come down to it, they didn't turn around and find out what the realtor thought.
Right.
Amen.
They found out what he thought. He's in a different ball field. He's playing somewhere else.
Right.
You know, he's in the minor leagues. No, probably in the little league. Well, he was.
Amen.
He was. Mike's complaint. Why? Mike's voice becomes the bar that's set.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Preach.
You need to understand. Where's your bar set at? Did your bar set at what the doctor said?
Amen.
The doctor said this. Is that where your bar set? Hmm. Yeah. I tell you what. I want to be healed. Good. There's people all over who want to be millionaires and be able, and they're not, none of them are ever going to be. Want to be and actually happening are two different things. God gave us, in other words, whatever we bind on earth, heaven will bind. Whatever we loose on earth.
Yes.
See, Mike talking about this morning, they hooked up with that principle. You know, I'm going to tell you what, people don't understand confession. They ought to be in the teaching business in the church. Because they don't know the foundation of even the study of any of what Jesus' parables are about. They really don't know. They really don't understand how the system works. You see, this is foundational to this is how this thing works. And see, when God started bringing this stuff forth, that was one of the things the teaching became forth. The healing revivals went through, and then we went in what they, really the teaching ministry started, and the charismatic renewal and things took off. And you know, we need to understand, these were one of the things that were pushed in here is about turning confession. Now I heard people say, well, people got crazy. In any move of God, there's always the crazies. You don't quit doing what's right because there's crazy people doing crazy things with it. I don't care. I don't pay no attention to what the crazies do. Amen. I keep doing what's right.
Amen.
People say, well, you one of those name it and claim it people? Yes, sir. You got that right.
Amen.
I follow the scriptures. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're not the name it and claim it. They're the beg for it. Mm. You know, let's beg an offering in. Let's do that. What do you think? Let's beg one in. Mm-hmm. That's right. Let's tell you how bad they... And if you don't give and I go under, it's your fault. Yep, for all the children starving in Africa, it's your fault. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to tell you, we're going to get so good. We're going to get. I always love this thing they put out there. We're going to take over the hunger thing in the world. There's not going to be anybody says that. Don't give them a nickel. That's the biggest lie on the face of the earth. I mean, anybody believes that. I'm going to tell you what. Don't even pay any attention to them. You're not going to take care of all the problems in the earth. You're bigger. These people call themselves Christians. They're bigger than God. God can't fix the whole thing. They're going to. Jesus will when He comes back. Because He's going to rule them with a rod of iron. He's going to have to get them to shut up. We don't fix everything. I can't fix everything. I can't make people get saved. I can't make... We just preach the truth. You know, we're called in the world to go out and preach the gospel. Church is trying to do everything else but that. They got 47 programs in a ministry, and at least there's 38 of them God never even told them to do. But they're so busy with it, the gospel don't get preached. This stuff here isn't said of how it works. What's the requirement? You can't get saved without believing in your heart and confessing.
Amen.
That's how you get saved. No, you get saved by asking Jesus to come into your heart. Well, what if he says no? Well, that's right. Ask Jesus. If I'm asking him the standpoint, does that mean he's going to automatically come in? What if he says no? I don't want to. I got saved by confessing Jesus as Lord. Didn't take a darn thing to me if wonder if he wanted to do it or not. I'd get saved just by saying it. See, we need people down a path. You know what people are waiting for? They're waiting for. To know, I wonder if Jesus came into my heart. I wonder, you know. A good unbelieving preach.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's not God. It don't lead to faith.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hallelujah. You believe God raised Jesus from the dead. You confess Him as Lord. You're saved.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You just said, He's my Lord. You got it. We ain't asking. He didn't ask Him to ask for anything. Just told you what to believe and call me Lord and you got it, buddy. No, that's too hard today. We got to figure out a more tender way. We don't want a Lord because He might expect something out of me.
Freeze.
Oh, maybe something else. With this confession thing, we're going to talk about stumbling in words. Now, James goes and uses some illustrations here in verse 3. He said, and we... put bits in horses' mouths that they may be obey us, and we turn their whole body. He said, look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Do you ever see these huge ships? I mean, you take these enormous aircraft carriers today, these enormous things. Do you ever see how small the rudders are compared to the size of that ship? Now, you might see those rudders, say they're enormous, but to the size of the ship, they ain't enormous. Yet that ship sort of turns around, swings around with it. He's turning around and telling us, he's using something here, that there's something here that's small. And he says this and he goes, listen, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So how great a forest a little fire kindles. Now he made the tongue. The tongue boasts great things. Then he goes, you know what? A forest fire don't start by a big fire. You know, there's no forest fire ever started by a big fire. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
They always start by a little fire. Something small. That's how they start. Mm-hmm. Now, he's going to use you. In other words, just like a big ship can be turned, a horse, they can get it to go just by a little bit in its mouth. This little piece of metal, a hood in its mouth, you can turn that horse any way you want to. Yeah. And it is amazing. When I was in the service, we did a lot of horse riding and that stuff, and we'd have to go out with these horses and, you know, you'd somebody have to bridle them up and that kind of stuff, saddle them and do things. There's one thing is I learned about a horse. See, I learned this about a horse even from when I was young. They would put me on some horses that they put me on. This one friend that we had horses when they wanted to break them because I was lighter than the other guys. So they'd put me on them so they could throw me on. But anyhow, I found this about a horse. I'm going to tell you what. You put a horse in, I learned this from back then. You put a horse and put a bit in his mouth, it's amazing what you can do with that horse, even though he don't want you on him. Because you can make him afraid of that bit. Oh, yeah. He learns that that bit will put him under control if you know what you're doing with it. They had this, when I was in Arizona, they had this horse was called Old Crow. And nobody liked to take Old Crow out because Old Crow would decide he wanted to go where he wanted to go. He would do that. So we were out one day and there was a bunch of us going out. And, you know, we had horses and Old Crow was going to be have to be one of them was take because of the number of us out. I said, I'll take Old Crow. I said, I'll take him. I knew he was miserable, and he was. It's like a lot of Christians. They're just, they need to get the bit in their mouth. Well, anyhow, Old Crow kept cutting off the path, wanting to go back. He was just doing whatever he wanted to do. So I finally got fed up with him. And I made him run, and I ran him through every rotten bush and everything you did. And I just ran him through it for about 20 minutes. And all of a sudden, he's nice. He couldn't get this guy off his back. And that bit in his mouth, all it was, and I'm serious, that's all you're using. You're not using it. What controls him is that bit in his mouth. And you know what? He learns after a while, you don't fight the bit. Too painful to fight the bit. And then know what they become? A horse, after a while, they understand how this happens. You don't have to, you just touch that bit a little bit, pull on it. He goes. They understand that. They just easily do it. So, he's talking about this. A little fire starts, it started by something that's little. He said, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it sets on fire by hell. Now, if you don't understand what the head of the church in Jerusalem. He's talking to people. He's talking to them. This is Christians he's talking to. Because, see, he goes on to say, this stuff shouldn't be. We're Christians. The world out here, we take Adam and Eve in a garden. Adam and Eve set on course hell on this earth. When they yielded, you know, I'm going to tell you what, when they yielded to sin, they wanted to know the knowledge of evil. Well, they found out what it is, and it got their mouths. Within less than 1,900 years, God's got to send a flood to wipe the whole thing out. I mean, their first son turns around into a murderer, and it ain't because people were talking right. You see, we need to understand what it does. There's a world of iniquity. Now, see, I lived in the world of iniquity. That's where I lived. That's where I was. I wasn't born again. I was in the world of iniquity. Now, you can ask my wife. I didn't have a right talking tongue. I wasn't blessing. I was definitely cursing. And I'm not talking about just saying bad words. I was talking the wrong thing about everything. We need to understand this. When I got born again, your spirit now changed. A person who's a sinner still is dead in their sin and they are dominated by their flesh. A Christian never has to be dominated by their flesh. They choose to be. Now, you might not want to hear that. I don't care. When I figured that one out, it helped me a lot. I wasn't going to throw the rock at everybody. I had to make a change. I have a choice now. I got a choice to whether I'm going to allow my tongue to be tied to my spirit where I am putting in the things of God or I am going to let my tongue tied to my feelings and what I see on the outside and going on. I choose whether I'm going to do this. That's what I choose. What's my tongue going to be tied to? See, I can sit and read the Bible and read scriptures, but is my tongue tied to the things of God? The Word of God, the Bible says this, the Word is spirit and it's life. God's Word is for your spirit. That's its purpose. But God's Word is, it doesn't work. It's not for your head to try to you get it into your head. If you get it into your heart, it's not hard to get it into your head. You got to get it into your heart. Now, because it'll come to you what to do. See, when we go down around here through the day, people think about, I'm not doing bad or evil things. See, we need to keep ourselves in concentration and concentrated on the direction that we're going and what we're going to do in our thinking. We're going through the day. Different things arise to do. We need to keep our fights on the right thing. What do I do in this kind of situation? Is it governed in me but the Word to do this? You know, people are doing or saying this. Should I add in to or should I keep my mouth shut and stay out of this? See, you're going to do that. Whether you get in or not. See, you know, this is what people do. It's very easy. One of the things that the Lord really dealt with me was I work at Reese's because, see, I would work there all the time as a sinner. You know, I was into all the, you know, complaining, griping, and moaning about everything. And until I got saved and the Lord taught me that I was my problem. He never told me one time that Reese's was my problem. Never one time. First, I wondered if he really was a God. I didn't know. You know? But see, people get over this thing is a problem. You know, this gets so into people. I run into people who have retired from Reese's that I knew when I worked there, and they've retired from Reese's, and they've been retired from Reese's 10, 15 years, and they're still complaining about Reese's. You know why? Some of them are Christians. So they filled themselves with that evil inside of them of talking. They filled their hearts full of evil and criticism. That here they are retired. What do I care what happened at Reese's? I've said to them, they come and talk to me about it. I said, don't you stay in contact with other people? No, I don't want to get around that nonsense like you. We ain't going there, people. Adios, amigos, man. I'm getting on my spotted pony and putting my sombrero on and I'm riding. I'm getting out of town. But see, this is one thing. You can train, you know, people, I just want to say, this is not being negative, it's the truth. You can go so far, you can't fix yourself.
Amen.
You got to learn to stop it. You got to learn to say, put the brakes on this thing. Amen. See, what you do, what you're doing is you're releasing that what they're doing is affecting you and they're allowed to. You've confessed it. No, I'm blessed. I don't care what, don't matter what they're doing. I'm blessed. See, it doesn't matter. God's going to take care of me. God's going to look after me. Get these things into your thinking. See, people do this in marriage and everything. You know, the things that are going on and that happen, they do the same thing. We need to be careful about these things of just talking negative about it in something. What do you want to take place? What is it? First of all, you need to get this. You got to get it in your heart. See, all these things are little things that cause big things to move. In other words, he's trying to tell us, out here in this world, there's a lot of big things that can be changed by the little thing of the mouth. They can be changed. It's like when the Lord told me, he said, don't let the devil tear up your property. And that's don't allow that to happen. See, that was in my ball field. He didn't say, I'm going to stop the devil if you ask me. He never said that. He said, you stop him.
Amen.
Why? He can't override my authority to speak. Mm-hmm. He can't override that authority. If he does, then therefore this salvation bit and all of it's a lie because I don't have choice.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Preach.
See, we have all this thing, as you know, this, oh yes, we're these beings and we have choice, but God does what he wants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that there tears up the whole Bible. Ain't no point in studying the thing. If God's doing what he wants, what does it matter what on earth I do? He's just doing what he wants. You know? God's going to move no matter what we do. I've heard some of the best preachers in the United States say things like that. Whatever we do, he's going to do what he wants. Say, well, I wish he'd get on with it. Don't you? Oh, I wish you'd do something about it. But see, the course of nature, in other words, the natural realm. What happened when Adam fell? The natural realm caught on fire. And man is in sin, dominated by the natural. And the natural realm's on fire. The natural realm is not set on fire by all the things that people say today. The natural realm on fire is because of the sin emanating from the mouth of mankind. Things that are said shouldn't be said. Things that are done, it should. We're dealing with this. This is not tonight. If when you understand this, this is such a blessed thing.
Amen.
When I want to change something around me. I want to do something. You know, as I found out, you know, it's just like people. Let's just say this is changing. We go along, and you know, people come along. They get married. They say, well, you know, they get married. Well, we love one another, and after some time, we don't love each other anymore. We don't love each other. Now, number one, if you're a Christian, I can understand the world will do that. But if you're a Christian, you can't say you don't love the other person. If you do, you're a liar. You don't have the love of God shed abroad in your heart, do you? You can love the unlovely.
Amen.
So saying that, you're in rebellion against God. You're hurting your own spirit by saying things like that. I don't care what they do. I don't care if a person I need to get away from, I'm not going to say I don't love them. No, I'm going to walk in love. I don't love what they do, but I have to love. Mm-hmm. Understand this, no matter how evil people get in this earth, God still loves them.
Amen.
That's right.
But we got the nonsense preach that even though you do as evil as you can, you know, God's going to take care of you anyway. No, yeah, because He loves. No, He's not. But see, why this hurts you. It hurts you to leave that love and say, no, you know, it doesn't matter with Wanda and I what goes on. I refuse. I cannot honestly say I don't love my wife. I would be the biggest liar there is. I love my wife.
Amen.
I love her. You know? Say, well, she don't do everything you want. That ain't got nothing to do with nothing. I love her.
Amen.
I don't do everything she wants either.
Amen.
So let's get over it. And if I say anything else, I am a Christian liar.
Amen. Preach.
Because the love of God shed abroad in my heart. I refuse to go against my heart.
Amen.
I'm going to love them. I don't care what.
Thank you, Jesus.
I may not, you know, person get where you can't be around them. There's people that happens. You cannot be around them. But you know what? That don't mean you don't love them.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk in love. You know, we had neighbors, and I'll tell you what, they were as pain as a pill can't reach. But you know, they moved away and left. But you know what? I see them at times and run into them. You know what? But I'm always nice to them and say hi and that stuff and talk to them and that stuff. I can't hate them. They were hateful to be around. But I'm sorry. If I say I don't love them, that's a lie. And I'm hurting my own spirit by doing that. Because the love in me, if you're ever in contact with it, will yell at you. Say, you can't do that. You can't say that. I'm sure I'm the only one who's ever gone through that. where the inner man has a few things to say to you. You see, this is why you find out what the Word says and you do it. This is not, when you say you, see, everybody gets to say, if you love some person, then you're just going to put up with what they do. That ain't, God don't put up with what you do if you're an idiot. Love don't put up with stuff.
Amen.
Love hates sin. And I can look anybody in the face and they're doing, you know what? I hate your sin. And that wouldn't be wrong. But to say I didn't love them, that wouldn't be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I can hate what they do, but doing that, to love them. Jesus died before there was one good one on the earth. And He died. And there wasn't one good one. Hallelujah. Why? He loved everybody. Well, does that mean nobody's in hell today? No, He loved them. He loves them. That doesn't change. See, we need to see ourselves in this because when we deal with over here of what we're saying, we don't want to hurt ourselves.
Amen.
See, today we're in this earth in the news media and people do this and online and if something comes up and everybody has to have their opinion out. And many Christians are involved in this, and they're saying things that they shouldn't be saying. And they think the whole time they're hurting the person. We're getting at the person we want. No, it's you that it's getting at. Mm-hmm. It's hurting you. It's hurting your health. I want you to say that. Because what did he say here? Just like that horse that bit, just like that rudder on that ship, your tongue controls your whole body.
Amen.
There's one thing, the power of it. Here's one thing. If you have something in your life you want to get over or deal with, what you need to do is this, is first deal with it with your tongue. See, we're always trying to do stuff and do things. One of the things that I always use, in fact, with people, we're the great diet society, which the church is much into it, and they follow it just like the world, and they does it, that the world does. God helped me a whole lot about this thing of diet, because people say about diet, well, I don't know what people mean, because everybody eats different, so I guess everybody's on a different diet. I don't know. But there ain't thing. Well, the Lord spoke to me, and I asked him about diet, because he come along, God gave us this diet, and God did this. God did. And I asked the Lord about it one day, and he said to me, he said, heaven doesn't have any diets. He said, heaven only has moderation in all things. Mm-hmm. That's all heaven has. Heaven wasn't, well, you have to eat this and just this, and don't touch that, and don't taste that. Scripture, Paul wrote about it. Paul said, why do you say don't eat, don't touch, taste, like there's some kind of spirituality in all this? See, we think this is coming out. I'm going to tell you what. Your mouth has more to do with your health than anything you eat.
Amen. Preach.
Your mouth has more to do with your health. I can just tell you. I know people that basically have good health, and I've known them for all kind of years, and you know what? They don't look like the picture of health and their weight and that stuff. They have less medical problems than all these skinny folk. How'd that happen? They know how to control their mouth. I'm just telling you, I've learned this. There's no perfect diet. There's no perfect thing you're going to eat. Everything's contaminated in this earth. You wouldn't have to pray for it for what? Now, you need to get right about this stuff. See, I've watched this. The more we, the church, gets into this, all this health stuff, the more we got away from healing and divine health. We're going to get our health by our diet. We don't want to eat poisons. We don't, from natural man on this earth, we need somebody in office that said you can't have all these different things. But you know what? I don't worry about all these different things because, why? I've learned about my mouth.
Amen.
What we're led allowing, because why? You don't know what's in your stuff anyhow.
Amen.
That's why I pray. My food is sanctified by prayer. It ain't
Amen.
Sanctified by who put what in it. Most people, why pray? If you're getting all the things and you ain't getting anything bad in you, what would you bother praying for? Everything's wonderful. You're living in an earth, folks. We're living in a contaminated earth.
Amen.
That man has contaminated through sin.
Amen.
And what we need is God in this thing.
Amen.
And we need to begin. That doesn't mean you just go do anything and do everything crazy, You're going to go to a church where they turn around and handle rattlesnakes, and they do this thing even, they'll even drink poison, they'll do like some arsenic. They drink a little bit of it, one of the things of it is you can. See, many years ago, that's how women kept their skin white. They wanted to be real white back in the 1800s. They'd drink a little arsenic, and that would keep their skin white. And that's what they do. It's wonderful for your liver after a while. It does really a lot. But anyhow, you could do that, and you did drop dead from it. And I always said these guys that say they drink a little arsenic, and I didn't drop dead, this is my faith. I'd say, I'll give you a bottle of it, you drink it. I guarantee you, you're going to be in a coffin. You're going to be in a coffin, and we're going to be cheering. Because stupidity needs buried. It's like the guy that was on television, he had that, reality program. And he was a minister, and he handled snakes, and he got bit by one of his rattlers and killed him. The show went off the air. I don't know why they didn't even show the funeral. I wanted to see where the idiot was buried and all those faith people around him. You know, we ought to show the world how dumb that is.
Yeah.
that stuff is just downright stupidity. Well, verse 7 of this thing says, "For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly, full of deadly poison." Now, we need to understand what he's talking about. He's talking about man taming animals. This is about the human. This is talking about the human bringing his tongue under control. Has the human ever been able to do that? No. The glorified man can. The man who is born again and born of God has the ability. We have the ability. See, he's showing that natural man can't do that. It isn't, this isn't, man, God, you can only be, what good would it be for God to redeem us from the curse of the law and you can't bring your tongue under? What would the point be?
No.
You'll live under the curse for sure. You'll just live under and it'll be on you. See, it doesn't matter. I believe I'm redeemed from the curse. I can't turn around and talk curse. I can't talk against the word and turn around and have blessing.
That's right.
You can't do that. See, the natural man, the natural man's not going to do it. Like as I was talking about in the beginning, this isn't the world. You ain't going to get the world to talk right. See, this is one of the things that people, and I see that they're, I was reading some of the things these conservatives, they really cracked me up because they're trying to change the way some of these liberals think. And we're trying to just explain to them and we're trying to do, I'm sorry, you're dealing with people who have filled their hearts with wrong thinking, and they are trained highly in it. And you know what happens? They can't change. Naturally, you can't. There's only one way to change that.
Amen.
But I want you to understand this. There's Christians that can't be changed because they will not listen. They will just keep doing and saying things and saying things and saying things. They have the ability to, but they have trained themselves. And train themselves to talk in ways and to say in ways and to believe in ways. And they have filled their hearts in these ways. See, we need to awake and say, stop, hold it. God has set up a system for blessing. We want to move into that system. How do I get there? It's about my heart and my mouth.
Amen.
This is what Jesus did on the cross. That's why Jesus said, I don't say anything that the Father don't say. Why? He never spoke any cursing. He never spoke anything other than God. The only thing the guy could get was blessing. That's the only thing. He couldn't even die till he let them have him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we need to come down to the thing and understand the power of this thing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, you and I don't know everything the Bible says. I wish I understood, a good quarter of it. But what we do know, God will let us live on a high level if we'll just work in the knowledge that we have and begin
Amen.
To speak and to do that.
Amen.
It's not knowing everything. It's one thing. I found this out concerning, I learned about divine health when I first got born again. And within a year, man, I tell you what, sickness and disease wasn't knocking on Ed's door. Now, how'd that happen? It wasn't because I was a genius. All I did is learn to walk in the light of what I knew, and God
Amen.
Took care of the rest. So you need if you don't walk in the light that you have, God ain't taking care of the rest.
Amen.
You got to go to what you know. Isn't that what we expect in life?
Yeah.
Do we expect that of other people? See, we have expectation of things, but we need to put the expectation concerning ourselves. What I know, let me walk in the light of. You might find this out. You don't know as much as you really thought you did. We might not be as bright as we think we are. Many of us can quote scriptures, but we really don't have a revelation of
them. Amen.
See, I learned this a long time ago. This one thing is I learned. See, I've learned over time is setting yourself. And I see people do this. If I want to move in a direction, the first thing I do is spend time getting things hooked up in my heart. I'm moving in that direction. Except I am ready to step in that direction. I don't start speaking that direction till I get ready on the inside of what I know in my heart. Why? Because this is the power source it comes from.
That's right.
Those words have no more power than what's on the inside of me. This is why many people fail at doing things. See, I decide, you know, it's like with me, want to lose weight. I don't change what I eat. Never. I don't change. I eat all the things I like to eat. I just set myself to control the amounts I eat of what I like to eat. You know what most people are? They're on a road to failure. They start a diet, and their diet lets them eat low-calorie stuff and fill their belly with it and eat as much as they can. You know, they feel real good and they feel real full. Then one day they get tired of that diet. Mm-hmm. And they fill their belly. They have never brought their body under control. Their appetite's still big. So what happens? Now you start eating all the other stuff. See, I've learned this. If Ed can control what he's taking in with what he lacks, then I'll have to deal with my body. Mm-hmm. And it says, two more pieces of pie, please. And my inner man rises up and says, shut up, you nut. And I agree with it. I say, you're exactly right. Flesh, shut up. I'm just going to tell you, if you want to succeed at things, and especially keeping your tongue in a direction, mm-hmm. you're going to suffer some things.
Amen.
And if you ain't willing to suffer,
mm-hmm.
you're going to.
Amen.
Bringing the flesh under always brings suffering. And it's the suffering of your flesh. Don't like to be told what to do. My God, he can preach. That's what it is. See, I know if I want to do something, I got to deal with, I'm going to deal with my flesh. And I know this. It's going to yell at me. It's going to want things. It's going to want to do something. And I'm going to have to say no. And you know what? It won't go to sleep. It'll go, I want to do that. I won't do that. Don't you know what they did to me? I won't do that. You better give me that tongue of yours. I got something I want to say. But you know what? As you go along, you bring it. This one thing I learned about the flesh is like when I rode the horse through the brushes. You keep riding your flesh through the brush, you know, after a while he says, I give up. He ain't going to eat it. He ain't going to do it. Might as well shut up. He ain't going to do it anyhow. I've been wearing myself out trying to make him do this. And he won't pay no attention to me. See, most people never go through that. They never subdue the flesh. They're trying to get over things, not bringing the flesh under submission. And so as soon as they get done doing their little legalistic thing, they're back into the same problem all over again. And so I knew that. And you know what? It's a thing that don't stop. You can turn around, let it go, and you get out of hand again. Next time you're back around to it. It is. But you're always going to have to deal with that. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, they can't, you know, I can't lose weight. I said, well, quit eating altogether. We'll see if you can lose weight. A doctor say a person can't. No, they can't lose weight. Now, I've never heard anything so stupid in my life. Well, tell them, if they can't lose the weight, they'll live forever. Just tell them not to eat, and they just walk around forever, and they'll never die because they can't lose the weight. Get out of here. You can't. Wanda, because when she had the medication she took from her with the cancer thing, anyhow, the doctor, Wanda had lost, what, you lost 20 pounds or something like that? She lost 20 pounds. And I went with her in, and she had her checkup, and she's really good. But the doctor said to her, she said about, you know, her losing weight, and wanted to say, I lost weight. And the doctor said, most people that take your medication, we don't even try to get them to lose weight because they can't lose weight. She said, you lost 20. She said, well, that's great. She said, because most people, we don't say a thing about weight-wise because they're on the medication, they can't quit, they can't lose weight. Amen. Well, I learned, I know why. They don't use faith.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
See, we have something that overrides. I'm going to tell you what. Your mouth can override natural law.
Amen. Yes. Preach. Amen.
You need to understand that. Divine healing ain't natural. Divine health ain't natural. This is why it don't work for people. Because we're trying to keep within the bounds of natural law, our mouth, our talking, our thinking. That's got into the church, and it's preached. We're all trying. They're trying today to keep us within natural laws of things.
Amen.
No, I'm going to show you. The power that you have is supernatural.
Amen.
You have a supernatural power. You have a born-again spirit, and it is designed specifically to produce the fruit of the Word of God.
Amen.
But that fruit cannot produce unless that fruit is spoken. It got to get spoken out of your mouth. This is how this system operates. God spoke everything into existence. This is how the spirit realm works. What do you want existing in your realm? What do you want in yours?
Amen.
Start speaking. You know, it's just like we can't change everybody and what they do, but we can change the atmosphere of many things that will change what people do.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what. You can't get a bunch of people, you can't get a group together griping and complaining about something and have a good atmosphere.
Amen. Amen.
You know, let's get a group together and talk about my problem. We'll get a whole group. Let's get out there. Boy, the atmosphere gets wonderful. You know, we have the things, you know, with the, you know, AA, whether it's for, you know, drugs or whether. But you know, I'm an alcoholic or I'm a drug. Every time you stand, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a drug addict. That's what I am. If you believe that in your heart, you're saying it with your mouth. You're stuck. You are. This is why people need to stay in the program all their life. They're fighting all their life because of what they say.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Preach.
And all these Christians sit around and say, well, Christians started that program. Yeah, it was Christians that didn't know the Bible.
Amen. Amen. Preach. Preach.
Now, I'm not... Thank God he had people stay. But I hate to see people have just to fight, just try to stay away from something.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to, and they don't know the power that they can begin to put the power of their voice to bring the power of God on the scene to help them. We all want, don't you all want the power of God to work in your life? Don't all of you want? We do. We all want something.
Amen.
We want God involved in our lives.
Yes.
Well, our voice tied to our spirit brings him to the scene.
Amen.
You know? I need comfort. Well, you need comfort? Why don't you speak comfort? Praise God. Meditate on scriptures and talk about how God comforts you and how, you know, I tell you, don't be surprised. You get around the things, God's comforting me. You know, God comforts me. I don't have to feel like He's comforting me. He does. See, everybody needs a gushy feeling. This is America. You know, give me a gushy feeling. You know, give me a this, you know. You know, make me feel like I'm loved. I'm telling you, I'm loved from God, and I'm going to tell you, sometimes I think, why on earth would He love me? I'm an idiot. But, you know, I got that Word in me, and I know this, He loves me.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I don't need a gushy feeling.
Amen.
You know, Wanda don't always give Ed a gushy feeling, do you, honey? No. Rightfully so.
Amen.
But you know what? I know my wife loves me.
That's right.
Amen.
She must. Why she'd have stayed, I don't know. Maybe it's just to annoy me. I don't know. No. She said money. That's my girl. Woo! Hallelujah. But see, we all need, if you can learn to get things in your heart, what your head's telling you, what's going on around you, the things that are happening. You know, sometimes people do things and toward other people. They really didn't mean nothing by it. They were messed up doing something. And it's like, when we take these things, everything so seriously, and we have to do something, you know, we get a mess because we get our talking in on it. We get this and that and the other thing instead of stopping and saying, it's like I learned Brother Hagin. He just said, you know, when they say things about me or anything, I just say, well, they must have just misunderstood something. And, you know, God loves them and I love them. And, you know, that's it. Is doing that. Many a times we feel like we have to deal with what we don't have. Many times it'd be just good if we try to set an atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know? You know, there's people, I just learned this, you ignore their problems and what they're doing. Even though affection, because sitting and fussing about it never makes it any better.
Amen.
Right. You know, it's like in marriages, people just get back and forth at each other, back and forth at each other. And you just got to learn to. Sometimes just keep your blind mouth shut.
Amen.
See, I learned with my wife, sometimes it's good for Ed to just keep his blind mouth shut.
Amen. Preach.
That's right. Preaching. You know why? Yeah. You know that I know she loves me. I know, you know. Sometimes she gets fed up with me. It isn't a matter of who's right and who's wrong. I'm still going to have to love her. You know, this is what it is.
Amen.
And you get into the things, and people need to, you know, it's one of the things, especially, words have a huge thing about setting atmospheres for things.
Amen.
You know, they used to always do this thing, well, think happy thoughts. Happy thoughts don't produce a darn thing.
That's right.
Words do. You get words. You know, some Christians, what their big problem is, they believe the right things, but they don't ever say nothing.
Amen.
No, it requires words to bring things to pass. That's what we do. You got saved. You got born again by words.
Amen.
Out of your heart. Well, he says about tongue, he said, with it we bless God and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. He said, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt and fresh water. So we need to understand this. In other words, how important it is. It's just like in the natural, with natural things, they are types and shadows of the spirit, is out of the spirit realm, as of what we say and do. We need to understand it's very important in these areas, especially of what we desire to bring to pass. And I want to talk about the areas of health, because dealing with that, I learned this as a revelation. I remember first reading about this thing. One of the things you can do, if you have or habits or anything you want to break, one of the things you need to do is get the Word of God in you and then begin to say the right things. Quit looking about the... If you keep looking and following the habit all the time, you're going to be in it because you'll end up talking about it. Whatever you follow is going to be the thing where your voice is going to be.
Amen.
You know, I always use the thing of Kenneth Copeland when he did it with the young man who smoked, he just couldn't. He said, I can't quit smoking. So Copeland said to him, well, I'll tell you what to do. He said, do this. Because he came and asked for prayer and he didn't pray for him. See, he wanted to get this man saved. He wants to get this young man's mouth in the right thing. He said, every time you light a cigarette, you say, thank God I don't smoke anymore. Now, see, some people, many Christians think this is, oh, that's some kind of psychology. I wonder how that idiot ever got born again.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, many people have no revelation even of their own salvation. They got saved, but really don't have a revelation of it. They don't have a revelation of it. Well, we wouldn't have a church world we have today if most people had a revelation of it. We never had the troubles we got. They don't have revelation of how it works. So this young man, he said he thought this crazy. Copeland said to him, no, you go ahead and do that. He said, but that there's, no, just go do it. Oh, I wish it was that easy with most Christians. Anyhow, every time he lit up a cigarette, he'd say, thank God I don't smoke anymore. Well, after a period of time, he come back to Copeland and told him, quit smoking. He said, I thought this is the craziest thing. I light a cigarette and say, I don't smoke anymore. He said, one day I went and light a cigarette and said, I don't smoke this. I don't smoke no more. You see, he got power in this thing. He got those words got into his spirit.
Amen.
See, until those words got into his spirit, they weren't producing something. But every time he said them, they got in little. See, your spirit hears your voice more than it hears mine.
Amen.
I don't care how. This is what I've learned. I've learned in the church where I pastor over the years. I've learned this. People don't succeed because of how well I preach. It's how well they preach. It's what they say. You have some people take a hold of it and grab it and go after it. There's others, they sit and listen, they can quote the scriptures to you. But that's not what they do. That's not their word. Their word, they're preaching to themselves different than my preaching. No, they're going to have the success of your preaching. See, I know this. I went to Rhema. Before I got there, I had all his books and then practically anything that he ever recorded that I could get a hold of. I had it. And I got there and I listened to his stuff and I went there to Rhema. And I thought these Rhema students were going to just be so excited about him and his teaching and that stuff. And I was shocked at a bunch of them. They had a lot of ideas. I thought some of them, they'd know something. I surprised the one that he didn't. People were left there. Crazy stuff. Wasn't nothing wrong with Brother Hagin's teaching. It was wonderful. It was good. It was right. But see, that's not what they said. They had other beliefs. They had other sayings. Well, I believe it's this way. Well, the Bible says it's that way. Well, I think it's like, they talk against the Bible. I've set it down here, other preachers talking. Spirit-filled, tongue-talking preachers and contradict the Word. I'd say, well, the Bible says it's this. Yeah, but I think this, we've had this problem. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, adios amigos. Here we go, get the pony. We're on the road again. Get this spotted pony, let's get out of town. Don't bother standing there and talking to him. You ain't going to do nothing to the hard head. He heard the Word of God that didn't move him. You know you ain't moving him.
Amen. Amen.
If God's Word can't move a person, they're in a bad spot. Especially if they say they're Christian. And over the years, we've run into a lot of that. I've had stories told to me about ministers and dealing with people and their problems and giving them the Word. And they just do nothing but talk about the Word. And they talk about being wonderful believers. And I believe the Word of God. And I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Who cares? If you ain't doing it, don't care.
Amen. Preach.
That don't mean a thing.
Amen.
The blessing's in the doing.
Mm-hmm.
So get yourself fixed in that thing. Get yourself set in that direction of doing. I want you to get that today as we leave here today. Get it set within yourself. Guard yourself.
Amen.
Now, you want to do things that protect you, and especially if you want to protect and bless other people. As we govern in your words, you're going to have people all along, they're going to think that you're a fanatic and you're strange.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Talk about what you believe instead of what you have or what's going on. You see, people will do this. They'll come along, you know, people generally, and even Christians, are on the negative side of things. If you're dealing with a problem, say a health problem, they're always interested in what the doctor said.
Mm-hmm.
And people seem to always be interested in telling people what the doctor said.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do, you know what you do to people, and I found this out. Here's how you get people off your back that want to know the negative. Say, this is what I believe. See, what I believe is what produces power.
Mm-hmm.
Not what the doctor said. He ain't God. Believing his words. Now, I believe from a standpoint, he might be accurate what the problem is. I'm not interested in the problem. I'm only interested in answers.
That's right.
That's what I'm interested in.
Amen.
I'm interested in answers. You know, if I have a problem, you know, if I'm trying to figure something out, you know what I go to Google? I don't go to Google and look on YouTube to find problems.
Right.
I'm sure there's a lot of people do. They want to hear what some idiot said about something. No, if I'm trying to fix something, I'll go to Google, find out about somebody who fixed the problem, not somebody who still has the problem.
Amen.
I say, I hope they have a group of 30 people on there who still have a problem and we can all talk about it. We can all have a discussion about how rotten things are. I feel better. I got it off my chest. Now I have the devil sitting on my shoulder. Hallelujah. Get yourself over where you begin to talk about it. Talk about what you believe. You know? You know, I was thinking this morning when I was there and the Lord showed me, we were singing a song. He does miracles so great. And most people are looking at miracles. Yeah, they identify with the past and miracles of God. I don't identify the past. I identify now and the future. He does them. So if you believe in the dozen side, then you're looking for miracles to happen. Mm-hmm. People aren't looking for miracles to happen today.
Amen.
People are trying to get by. They're just trying to make it. I'm just trying to get, you know, I just want to have a better day tomorrow. No, I'm going to have a better day.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't care what happens. I'm gonna have a better. There's blessing awaiting me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It is awaiting me. Say, trouble won't come? Well, sure, trouble's gonna come, knucklehead. But I ain't looking for trouble. I'm looking for the blessing that's coming.
Hallelujah.
Say, well, what if something happens tomorrow? Surprise me if it wouldn't. The devil's in this world. There's going to be trouble tomorrow. There's going to be blessing too.
Amen.
Now I have a choice in which one I'm after.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, I don't look to Fox or any of those conservative news or Newsmax. I don't look to them for encouragement.
Amen.
If I want to hear about trouble, just go over. You'll hear about the trouble. There's plenty of people yelling about the trouble. Find people who are talking about the blessing.
Amen.
Make your friends among those talking about the blessing.
Amen.
Hook up with those. I'll tell you, sometimes you got to hide from family members.
Amen.
I'll tell you, when you're going through a tough time, sometimes it's just good to unload relatives.
Amen.
Don't worry about that. If you're in a struggle for your life, and you're in a struggle, you're in a problem, and you just want to, because they're your family, wake up. Protect yourself and the ones around you that you need protected. And the stupid ones, chuck them under the bus. A man that don't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. You know, I ain't letting family members and people run and do things because they're relatives and, you know, I have to go see them. No, I don't.
Amen. Preach.
I do not have to do that. They're just a bunch of Christian knuckleheads. I'm sorry. We ain't going to that place. I don't need somebody talking down on things and stuff, and I don't need that. You're going through tough times. You know, there's one thing, you go along stuff, and sometimes I can get around people, don't bother me at least. But sometimes you're going through battles, you need to put people out. Mm-hmm. If they ain't running in your camp, you need to look, say, hey, put the brakes on, kick the door open, and put your foot out, shove them out the door. Close it and drive down the road.
Amen.
Say, Gloria, I love you. Hallelujah. See, people need to be told. You know, we don't think nothing about it. You know, somebody's sick, say, we've got to stay away from them. There's people who are more dangerous than somebody. I mean, people around me are not dangerous who are sick. They ain't getting me sick anyhow. The dangerous people are the ones that run their mouth and doing things to kill and steal and destroy with their mouth. They're the real dangers. See, we're all in the natural, full of the natural. Full of the natural. That ain't the problem. Sickness and disease in the earth ain't my problem.
That's right.
Jesus dealt with my problem. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I ain't got no problem no more.
Amen.
Not with that. We don't have a problem with that. And see, there are things that become settled to get in you. Get it in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before we go here, I told Betty we're going to pray for her grandson, and we want to.